one of the times that we send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one of the most important of our acts of devotion, but yet we don't pay much attention to what we're saying or doing, is within the prayer itself. When we send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the final rak'ah. Of course, there is a sending of blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before that in the prayer that's differed upon. The Shafi'is and some others send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first sitting. Imam Abu Hanifa considered that to be disliked because supposed to get up immediately after the tashahhud. It is said that Abu Hanifa rahimahullah saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And he said, "Ya Abu Hanifa, lima awjabta as-sahwa ala man salla alayhi?" He said, "Oh Abu Hanifa, why have you made the forgetfulness prostrations incumbent upon one who sent blessings upon me?" And Abu Hanifa, not to be outdone or outwitted, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, li'annahu salla alayka sahwan." He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, because they sent blessings upon you forgetfully." Because the Hanafi school, if after the first tashahhud, if you send blessings on the Prophet ﷺ there, you've left a wajib, which is getting up immediately. Unless you did it very briefly, but you're not supposed to do it. But at the end of the prayer, it is one of the emphasized sunnahs to send blessings on the Prophet ﷺ. But that sending of blessings is intriguing. Why? Because we know clearly and decisively that the Blessed Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest, most beloved, highest in rank and station of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. We say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallayta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala Ali Sayyidina Ibrahim. That Allah send your blessings upon our Master Muhammad and the folk of our Master Muhammad as you have blessed our Master Ibrahim and the family of, and the folk of Sayyidina Ibrahim. So this is actually something that should make you ponder. That we know that any blessing sent on the Prophet ﷺ would be greater than the blessing sent upon anyone else, because he is the greatest and most beloved of Allah's creation. So what does it mean? كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى Ibrahim, as you have blessed Ibrahim. And this is something that should make you wonder and reflect. One of the great recent scholars, he had a very intriguing name. I don't claim to understand it. His name is Maulana Ruhani Al-Bazi from Lahore, which one Guyanese brother mistakenly referred to as India. I said, you could trigger a war by saying that, especially because India and Pakistan have a long border. The only border crossing is just outside Lahore. So of all parts of Pakistan that you should not refer to as India, is Lahore. Right? Because that border crossing is very tense. So Maulana Ruhani Al-Bazi has a book called Fathul Alim fi ma'ani qawlihi kama sallayta ala Ibrahim. This book on the openings of the all-knowing in the meanings of Kama Sallayta Ala Ibrahim. And he meant, it's a 450-page book. It has about 150 different interpretations the ulama have given of what does it mean? As you have blessed Ibrahim. One aspect of it, Kama, that this comparison, this tashbih, is not on the extent, the extent of the blessings, but one explanation is, just as you have blessed Sayyidina Ibrahim and you blessed his family, that the blessing granted Ibrahim remained in his family. The offspring of Sayyidina Ibrahim and their offspring were prophets. The line of prophethood goes through Sayyidina Ibrahim. That bless the heir of the Prophet in that way. And what does that mean? In terms of the greatness of the blessing, in terms of the preservation of the faith through generations, the preservation of guidance. So bless the Prophet ﷺ and his folk, his أهل, which in, and then what does أهل mean? They say that in stations of dua, أهل refers to, has a particular meaning, which is the family itself of the Prophet ﷺ, but has a broad meaning, which is, and they say you should intend the broad meaning every time you make dua with respect to the أهل, the folk, the family or the folk, which refers to all those who follow, all those who follow the Prophet ﷺ. Because أهل الشخص من أهل إليه, right? The folk of a person are those who turn to a person. It, and the most immediate people are the family, but it's broader than that. But there's other meanings as well. There's other meanings that كما صليت إبراهيم, as you have blessed Ibrahim, as you blessed Ibrahim, how? The most important of the meanings return to preserving that blessing in the offspring. Okay? In the offspring. One simple explanation is, this is just like A, B. That you blessed Ibrahim, also blessed Muhammad and his family. Right? It's just, there's no sense of the extent of the blessings. And there's many, many other meanings, but these kinds of things, one should be reflecting upon. And one should be reflecting upon. Then when we say, Allahumma salli, O Allah, send your blessings. What does it mean, send your blessings? When we say, wasallim, okay, and send your peace upon the Prophet, what does it mean? And because we, in our own prayers and acts of devotion, when we send salawat, we don't reflect on the depth of these meanings, the ulama spelt out what it means to send blessings, what it means to send peace. Send blessings as much as the rain that falls from the sky and the sands in the desert and this and that, so that it can stir our minds in appreciating the extent of blessings. Just as when, you know, even when we say Ala Sayyidina Muhammad, upon our Master Muhammad, right? One of the aspects that we learn when we come to gatherings of remembrance and dhikr, these are gatherings of spiritual learning too. So that when we say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, those meanings should stir in us, like what Habib Ali mentioned, Habib Umar, Hafidhullah mentioned in the Al-Lami. Who is Muhammad? Ya Rabbi salli ala Muhammad, Habibika Shafi'i al-Mushafa, your beloved, the one who intercedes and whose intercession is accepted. Allahumma, Ya Rabbi salli ala Muhammad, A'la al-wara rutbatan wa arfa. O Lord, send your blessings upon Muhammad, the highest of creation in rank and most exalted. Asma al-Baraya, all these different meanings. Why? So that when we send the blessings, when we say Muhammad, when we say Rasulullah, and we have within us a sense of what we are saying. What we are saying. This is why, you know, some people say, why do people recite different types of salawat on the Prophet ﷺ? Whether it be the Salat al-Mashishiyya, or the Wadifa, or Dala'ilul Khairat, or these various collections of sending blessings. Why do they recite the Burda? Shouldn't you just sit and 20 minutes send blessings on the Prophet ﷺ? And we know from the witness of the Prophet ﷺ, what is the highest way of sending blessings on the Prophet ﷺ? What we recite in the prayer, the Salat al-Ibrahimiyya, is by promise of the Prophet ﷺ himself. That is the greatest mode of sending blessings on the Prophet ﷺ. But do we appreciate what it means? Right? So the right way we approach these various modes of sending blessings on the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the famous ones like the Salat al-Mashishiyya, the Wadifa of Sidab al-Mawahib al-Tunisi, and also the great Qasidas like the Burda or the Hamziyya of Imam al-Busiri, the different great Mawlids, all of these stir within us understanding and appreciation and consciousness of what it means to ask Allah to send His blessings. What does it mean to send His peace? What does it mean to mention the name Muhammad? To mention that He is our Master, Sayyiduna, that He is Rasulullah, all these things. And you will witness it yourself if you come, with a heart that is present, it'll change your prayer. it'll change your sending of blessings on the Prophet ﷺ when you try to send blessings. Right? So these are, so you one comes. That's why Habib Umar says in his mawid, وَأَحْضِرْ لِقَلْبِكَ يَمْتَلِئْ وِجْدَانَ. Be present with your heart. So it is filled, you know, with ecstatic consciousness. And that's why, you know, unless you have a purpose to fill, this is not the time to be sort of checking out your Facebook feed and finding out that, you know, an elephant stepped on a tortoise in Thailand and they're wondering if it had children or, you know, like all kinds of things, right? Rather, be present with your heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are present and who appreciate the true blessing of such gatherings. These are the angels go around the earth, and there are places that light emanates from. What are the places where lights emanate from? The places where people gather to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are these are things that one should stick to and benefit from. And even if you show up with ulterior motives, Zubayr only shows up because he wants to win favor of Uncle Jamil, so that he'll say yes to marrying Zubaydah. Even if someone shows up with ulterior motives, the best place to have ulterior motives is in gatherings of dhikr. Because when the Prophet ﷺ relates in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the people who gather for remembrance, that all of them are forgiven. So the angels ask the question, but amongst them are those who came for other reasons. The angels are smart, right? So they say, well, anytime people gather, there's interests involved. I want to take a book from someone. I'll show up where they are. I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm showing up for networking or whatever. But humul qawmu la yashqa bihim jalisuhum. They're the people who no one who sits with them will lose out. Because if it's raining, everyone who's present will get wet. And the one who come with buckets will have more, but everyone gets wet. Okay? And these are gatherings, as we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim and elsewhere, that مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ. No people gather in the house of the houses of Allah. And the more famous narration is يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارُسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Reciting the book of Allah and studying it together, but in another sound narration, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. Remembering Allah. And by the indication of text, all gathering in which the pleasure of Allah is sought. Okay. No people gather in a house of the houses of Allah, remembering Allah, illa nazalat alayhim as-sakina. No people gather. Doesn't matter who you are. And no people gather except that serenity descends upon them. And there's no condition. No people gather sincerely, with this, with that. The condition is, gather. مَجْتَمَعَكُمْ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنُوتُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَ. Except the serenity descends upon them. Okay? And they say, if it said that if they were given sincerity, right? And if you're given given serenity, then did you take it? Did you embrace it? Did you do this? No. Serenity descends upon them. It's there, right? إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. And mercy envelops them. So this is not the works that you do, personally. You do a work, you have 10 rewards. Right? But that's something you're given. This is something that comes down upon you. Right? It just doesn't come down, it envelops you. Serenity comes down upon them. Mercy envelops them. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And the angels surround them. And these are the angels of divine mercy. What do the angels do? They pray for the believers. They support them. They direct divine concern towards them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَ. And Allah mentions them in the highest company. So these are the supports of faith. Right? These are supports of faith, and one should do one's best to hold on to them. And particularly consistency, right? Because does the act of gathering, it requires sacrifice too. It requires sacrifice too. But the, and there's great merit in going to them. The Prophet ﷺ forbade a number of companions and even like entire families who saved for years to draw, to live closer to the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. They asked, you know, could we move closer? Initially he said yes, then he said no. Stay where you are. Why? It says, Diyarakum tuktab atharukum, right? Your houses, like, you know, be, you know, appreciate where your houses are. All your traces, you know, your footsteps are recorded. And so it's not just the gathering itself, but all that you take to get there, it's recorded. Which is also what's mentioned in Surah Yasin, right? نَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَأَثَارَهُمْ. We write what they did before and their footsteps. And the Sahaba explained this, the athar here refers to either their footsteps in going to the masjid or the steps they take to any matter of good. So, one should be really grateful for gatherings. Particularly in troubling times, one of the things that preserves and nurtures faith is gathering. And many hadiths about it, of al-jama'atu rahma wal-furqatu adab. You know, the group is mercy, and going it alone is torment. And they're also, these nurture healthy human relationships. It is against the sunnah, it's a bid'ah to be alone in the general case. It's a bid'ah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who eats alone without excuse, their eating partner is the shaitan. He said, if people knew the harm of sleeping on one's own in a room, no person would sleep alone. If people knew the harm of traveling on their own, no one would travel on their own. So much so that in the Maliki school, it's actually considered religiously disliked, unless one doesn't have any alternative, to sleep even one night on one's own. And many of the fuqaha, especially of the Malikis, took, because to sleep in a room on your own is considered disliked, even if there's other people in the house. And it's not just like if you're a married couple, but that you should have someone else, because it's healthier than being alone. Generally, the fuqaha said, alone meaning that you're living alone in a house. Because it has emotional harms, it has spiritual harms. And if anyone knew the harm of traveling on their own, they would not do so. And many, many other hadiths. And many, many other hadiths on that. But from that is coming together. So one should find gatherings. And, you know, they in traditional Muslim cities, it was just a given that if you're religious, you attend one gathering of remembrance per week. And ideally, you also attend one gathering of knowledge on a weekly basis. And like where I lived in Damascus, in Medan, people would, like, you know, they would, as part of introducing themselves, if they're religious, they would, part of their identity would be, they say, I attend the majalis of so-and-so and so-and-so. That's just part of their identity. نَحْضُرْ عِنْدْ سِيدْنَا فُلَانُ وَشَيْخْنَا فُلَانُ. This is part of their identity, who you are. Is that not so?
Yeah.
It's just a given. Like you've not properly introduced yourself unless, you know. But then people get busy, and especially, you know, in recent times, in like a place like Syria, from last number of decades, things have been very difficult. So people would feel the urge to apologize. So Allah taghat alayna dunya, the dunya has taken over this, that. We're not able to attend on a weekly basis. But this is, you know, this is the, you know, religious culture that one should have. Right? Deen is not what you do on Facebook. Right? Deen is what is lived. Right? And what people gather over. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize the blessings of gathering. And the doors of good are many. The doors of good are many. There's all, alhamdulillah, you know, with the growing community in Toronto, we have gatherings across the city. Right? Across the city. And one of the ways of establishing relations between different communities is go to other people's gatherings. So you attend a gathering regularly, but particularly when it is seasonal. Tomorrow, Sheikh Ramzi and Ustaz Muhammad Mahmoud, they have their gatherings for Risala. They have two gatherings, one after the other. show up, right? And that way you establish relations between different communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who open the doors of benefit and good. Bismillah ta'ala wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima.